from the very beginning, our members in Donegal would have made contact straight away with people who were impacted and suffered so badly because of that explosion. And particularly, I suppose, when monies were coming into the Red Cross, we were able to have our members on the ground who were able to call to people to be there, particularly people going through so much trauma, who needed support, immediate emergency support. And we were able to provide that early on. I think after that, when we realised the amount of money that was there as well, we put together a plan with the community that we would have a member of our team, a professional member of our team in Chrysler at least one day a week. And we completed that for about 6 to 8 months. And again, that person was liaising with the community, with the families of the bereaved in particular, people who are injured, just getting a sense of what the needs were. And also then a sense of what to do with the money. So the money amounted to, or has amounted to in the end, 1.9 million. So it was about ensuring that that money was distributed appropriately and meeting the real needs of people impacted in Chrysler.
And that's a challenge, isn't it? I mean, you know, obviously there are those that were, that very sadly lost their lives and their immediate family, or even wider family for that matter. There were those that were present, there were those that were injured. And then, you know, it goes out in waves then, and you have people maybe that were on the scene or were first responders or whatever it might be. I'm not talking necessarily about the official first responders, but certainly those in the community that just were there and helping out. So it's quite a lot of people, and it's quite complex, I imagine, in working it all out and what's appropriate and what have you.
Yeah, it is complex. And I suppose we were lucky we had someone with good competencies in those areas and was able to liaise not just with the individuals themselves, but also with the statutory agencies, because obviously they were there playing a role to ensure that trauma support was there, that psychological help was there, and financial. And the financial is very important, because ultimately people lost livelihoods, they lost jobs, they lost homes, and they
lost
obviously
the ability
the worst,
to work. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They did indeed. Yeah. It was a huge issue. So part of the role was to make certain that the real needs were identified. But the community early on made it very, very clear, because from day one we said, look, you know, we will focus on spending the money here in Chrysler and its environs with those who have been impacted. And they were very clear with us. They said, look, bereaved families first. We want you to focus on that. And if there's funds over then, well, then we would be delighted to utilise those funds in the community. And I suppose then the work that we have been doing over the last time has been simply to make certain that the bereaved families were, number one, cared for financially in whatever way possible, and also people who were injured and impacted and lost houses and jobs, etc. And we're at a stage now, I suppose, where we have 144,000 left, which is about 7.5% of the fund. And we need to talk to the community and the families of the bereaved about how that money is
so
to be spent.
How do we find ourselves with 144,000 left over, and the subject of you know, a series of public meetings? Is that the norm in this type of a situation? Is this part of the process of wrapping it up, if you know what I mean? It's like, how do we come to a point where this 144,000 remaining? Is it a happenstance or is it part of the process?
It was always part of the process. From day one, we said, look, you know, obviously the main focus of the funds were given to assist families, people in need, people impacted, but also the community itself. So the community was clear, we want you to focus on the families of the bereaved first, and then come back to us if there are monies over, and we can have a discussion about how those monies should be spent. So that's what we are doing at the moment. And the meeting last night, there were 19 of us there last night from a variety of both the community organisations, individuals, the families themselves of people who are bereaved. And we just discussed the amount of money and the possible usage and the way that money could be used or how people could access it.
And just in terms of the turnout, I mean, were many more people invited? Is that how many you might have expected to attend, or were you disappointed, or what was the reaction?
Well, I mean, look, I suppose we would normally expect somewhere between, you know, 15 and 30 people to attend. So it wasn't an unusual number. Obviously, the more people who are there, the better. What we did to prepare, though, was we made certain that the families of the bereaved received letters from us directly to say we were coming up and that we'd be delighted to meet them individually, because sometimes
did many take
they
you
have
up
other,
on that, I wonder,
but no, ironically, Greg, and look, that remains absolutely open. The Red Cross is here with
that's
a focus.
That's their prerogative, isn't it?
It is their prerogative. they know the Red Cross is always going to be available over the coming months and years. So if people need us or want to talk to us, we're open to that.
So some of the suggestions that came forward last evening, trauma support. What does that look like?
Yeah, the discussion really was around the type of support that people need in these in such a tragic event in a close-knit community. It's a long-term support, so there's immediate support straight away, and people will need counselling and receive it. But there are longer-term issues. Some of these issues really only come to people's minds, I suppose, after a year, two, or three years.
Different things and happen at different times.
Exactly.
But is it the role of the Red Cross really to sort of account for that? Would you not expect other agencies, the HSE, for an example, to step in and free up this funding for something else? Do you know what I mean? Especially the fact that we would expect it to be a long-term commitment.
Look, Greg, there's no doubt about that. And I mean, the HSE have a fund set aside and provide services in this area. We're talking about utilising the funds that we have to enhance that and to make that available down at the core level for, you know, for football teams, for social occasions, for, you know, within church communities, you know, within the real community trauma support, and to make certain that that is available. But we would do that, and I think the discussion last night was that we should be doing it with the likes of the Donegal Youth Association, with Foroiga, etc., with the GAA, etc., with the variety
of other
people involved.
There's no point starting from scratch.
You
engage with those that are already working in that area.
Precisely,
A Garden of Remembrance, too, because that, I think that's really important, is how, you know, how this is not remembered or marked. I'm not sure of the exact words. But, you know, what is done in that regard going forward? That will, because this would be established and it would be maintained and it will be there for generations, if you know what I mean. So, who would be responsible for the establishment of a Garden of Remembrance, and what role might the Red Cross have in that? I suppose maybe start a funding or something, or what's the feeling?
Yeah, the feeling was that commemorative events or something like a garden to remember people, that they were suggestions that came up. Now, they have come up before, and we had them on the agenda for discussion last night, but it's interesting that the garden concept was very strong. And what we'd like to do at this stage is to firstly, design a website with all of this information on it. Mm-hmm. We'd like to share that in particular with the families of the bereaved. That would be our next move. And once they're good with the layout of this, well, then we're going to put that website up and enable people to look at what the possibilities for the funding are and the methodology for accessing that funding. And with that in mind, we hope to persuade a couple of people within the local community to take an assessment role, because, you know, you don't want an outside organisation like the Red Cross, you know, making decisions like that. We want to make these are community decisions.
But there comes a point, too, where the Irish Red Cross needs to step back.
Absolutely.
The same as everyone. You know, there comes a point where everyone needs to step back and it's the community that moves forwards.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not to say withdraw any supports, but you know what I mean? There is a time that people maybe want to move on to the next stage of a very long journey for themselves.
Yeah, and there are. There's a community association there, and the community association will, I've no doubt, they were present last night,
and they will
take leadership roles. Within the community, and we will support that.
Yeah. Another meeting in September. So what's the purpose of that?
Well, that's to finalise all of these arrangements, in the sense that we've got a lot to think about after last night. We want to go back now and consult one more time with the families of the bereaved, and then we want to come up with the map, the way we're going to deal with this 144,000, and the website we're going to set up, and looking for that community involvement to take it really from us, because I think that's the critical piece.
And it's very it's a great challenge, because lots of people have lots of different views.
Yes,
and all carry equal weight. And it's getting to a point whereby, as much as anyone possibly could, is trying to do as much as each individual or each group want.
Yeah, and
that makes sense.
Yeah, well, it does. It's complex, and it's complex because you've got the individuals, and people have been hugely traumatised by this awful tragedy. And so it's trying to respect that and trying to enable people to move, in as much as they can, to move on from that. And to do that both for the individuals and to do that at a community level. Mm-hmm. Because really we want to try and focus now on the community and the needs of the community. We want to do that respectfully.
And I know you want to speak to everybody, right? So anyone in the community or anyone who is affected by this or who is bereaved, sometimes you can't reach everyone even with the letters or whatever it might be. So what is your message for the community? They can identify themselves if they are, part of this, just in terms of engagement between now and September, or making so that they feel their voices are being heard or what have you. So what is your message to them in terms of this process?
Well, it's to contact us. So in other words, the Irish Red Cross is there. We obviously the phone numbers, etc., the contact emails are there. To look for Limo Dwyer, I'm the contact person, or Niall Keane, my colleague, and we would be delighted to talk to anybody who has ideas about this, about ways forward. And then we will be back in September to have that further discussion with the community, to, I hope, bring matters then to a head in terms of a plan as to how to utilise the
funds.
And
at that point, not in terms of abandoning anyone or any community, but the Red Cross step away at that point, would you hope, towards the end of this year?
Look, from our point of view, we're delighted to have this investment, to be quite frank with you, in Donegal. The Red Cross in Donegal is very strong in what it does, and our commitment is to be there. But in terms of this process, we're keen to move the process over to the community.
Yeah.
So the community takes ownership and is not dependent in any way on the Red Cross.
A couple of callers, did the Red Cross get paid for the work? I've just asked that.
No is the answer to that. I suppose that's why we presented the accounts last night to the community. And we've made it quite clear that the Red Cross has not taken what would be a normal percentage. And indeed, it has had to cover the costs of the salaries of the people who've been involved out of its own funds, not out of this fund.
Okay, it's good to clarify that. So, people have to get paid, but it's the Red Cross that have paid
out of their funds.
And nothing in that regard has been taken from the very generous donations from the public. Okay, Liam, do you need to signpost people where the contact details are, or do you think they're widely available out there in the community? Or
I think they're available. I think if people just look up the website of the Irish Red Cross or the phone numbers and make contact with us, we'd be delighted to talk with them. And prior to the meetings, I was delighted to get a number of emails and a number of telephone conversations with people locally prior to the meeting, which was great.